With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Damon Martin, MMA Fighting. I am here right now with the man himself, the 2020 Olympic gold medalist, 21 years old, doing far more than I've ever done at 21. I'll tell you that much for sure. Gable Steveson. Gable, welcome in, man. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Man, yes, sir. I appreciate y'all having me.
Absolutely. Be honest, you just won a gold medal. Do you get tired of hearing that? You just won a gold medal? I mean, come on now. That's pretty, like, you never get tired of that, right?
No, never. I mean, that's a lifelong dream. And that match is going to be posted so many places in the future, and so many kids are going to look up to it. So it's never going to get tired of me. It's going to be crazy.
Absolutely. Before the Olympics started, I did a wrestling preview with Daniel Cormier, and we sat down and we looked at the entire team, and we said we both believed everyone was going to win a medal, and we were trying to predict the golds. And we said, both of us said we think Gable is the guy who's going to pull off the upset. We're like, this is a guy you got to watch. But you hadn't had a ton of freestyle international competition up to that point. But you rolled through those first three rounds, like, so dominantly. Like, did you kind of expect that? Did it just play out that way? Like, can I give me your thoughts on those first couple of matches? Because you didn't allow a point to be scored until the finals, obviously.
Oh, man, it was actually very surprising, to be honest, because I went past the 2016 Olympic champ, like, three-time world champ before that. And the guy wrestled first. He was about 35 years old. He's been on the scenes for a long time. So, I mean, it's Olympic Games. You never know what to expect. But to be honest, after the first match, I went out there and the fire came and it was like the ball was rolling. The second match was a match I was looking forward to. So I was already like prepping myself to go against Taha Agu of Turkey. And when I met him, I've been waiting for that matchup for a long time. And so I wanted to see him. And then after I beat him, I was like, my fire is like really lit right now. Like, I'm going back to back unscored on. And then in the semis, I went unscored on again. And I was like, ooh. I was kind of surprised myself. I was like, I don't know how I'm doing this. And then we'll talk about the finals after.
It was amazing to watch. Like I said, and Taha Ghul is a beast. I mean, obviously, that guy's a hugely accomplished wrestler. To go out and blank him, I think it was 8-0. I mean, that's a huge deal to go out and blank that guy.
Yeah, it's he's a legend in heavyweight. You know what I'm saying? He got my respects. He's got a lot of people's respects. For me to go out there and do that to him is very surprising for the outside world. But for me and my inner circle that I've trained with was not a big deal, to be honest, because we're built for situations like that. If you're built for situations like that, you're going to go out there and enjoy yourself and you're going to put on a good show for everyone out there. So he's, like I said, he's got all the respects for me. And I knew I could go out there and put the hammer on him. And I'm just glad I put it on in the right way.
Yeah, so obviously the finals, Gino Petrushvili, a monster from Georgia. Of course, he's a dominant guy as well, was a three-time world champion, bronze medalist in 2016, a beast in his own right. And you obviously knew you had your hands full. You knew he was a tough opponent. And obviously you got up early, and then he came back. I'll be honest, I was watching it. I stayed up to watch it, and I was like a little shocked. Like, I was a little shocked at how he came back. Like, I didn't see that coming.
Yeah, I felt really good at the beginning of the match. I think it was 4-0, and then second period I took a bad shot and didn't come to my feet, and he rolled me through, and then he took a really good shot, and I knew that gut wrench was coming because he does it to everybody. He rolled me up a few times, and at that point it was like a roller coaster emotion because I was on a high, and then like I went to the bottom of the world after I was losing, and it was like 30 seconds left. But at the end of the day, I never lost faith in myself. I never lost hope. I knew. I spent 3 weeks in Tokyo to go out there and have a gold medal, not second place. And so that's what I was thinking. And at that point, and I think that drive, that fire for me to take gold helped me pull off those last two takedowns.
Yeah. So let's just go ahead and talk about the final sequence. I don't know how many times you described it to this point. I can tell you right now, Gable, my neighbors hate me because I screamed like a 12-year-old girl when you landed the two points to win, at 7 in the morning here on the East Coast. Walk me through that sequence, because again, in that moment, seconds are running down, you know, time is running out, you know, obviously you got to land the 2 points to get the win. walk me through that sequence and kind of the emotion of when you healed, because obviously you've seen the famous photo, you got the 2 points out, it's an iconic photo now, but that was such an amazing sequence.
Oh, it's so hard to describe what I was going through in that seconds. I mean, right when I got put back on my feet to go for the 6 second takedown and get it in point two, it was like, I think at that point it was a straight heart. It was like nothing to lose. You gotta make something happen. And so when I was circling behind them and I saw that clock strike point two when I scored the two and the buzzer went off, it was kind of like a wild feeling, kind of indescribable. Like you have to be in that situation to feel it, because like it was like I'm an Olympic gold medalist and I did it at 21 years old, and it was some was definitely special to do against an opponent like that.
Yeah. Now, obviously, if you go out and you beat the guy, you tech fall him, you know, 10-0 or technical superiority, what they call it in the Olympics. I used to say tech fall because I'm, you know, I always watch college wrestling, but the tech fall him, it would have been great. Obviously, it would have been an amazing moment for you to go out and do something like that. But this is something that's going to live on forever. I mean, we've got to be honest. You know, I wrote about it after it happened. I said one of the craziest, you know, most insane finishes in Olympic history to pull off that win with, like you said, 0.2 seconds remaining on the clock. I mean, I'm sure you would have loved a 10-0 win, but be honest, like the fact that you had to pull that off the way you did, I mean, this is going to live forever. I mean, that's a moment that, you know, 20 years from now, they're going to be replaying that moment whenever we talk about Olympic wrestling.
I would have loved a 10-0. I mean, at the beginning of the match, I thought I had it in. I took him out of bounds for the 4-pointer, but they didn't give it to me, so I had to refocus. To have a 10-0 win in Olympic finals would have been historical, but I think the way things happen and the way the world aligned, that last second takedown made it even more historical. And so that picture of me throwing up the 2 points is hopefully going to be an iconic photo and be brought up when I'm 40 years old in the future. And hopefully kids look up to that picture and kids see that video and just to know to never give up and never stop wrestling.
Absolutely. I hate to be that guy, Gable. I got to ask you, is the gold medal nearby? Do you keep it like with you? Like, where's the gold medal right now?
It's right there, right behind me.
it's one of those accomplishments, like you can never, I imagine you probably can never get sick of like talking about it or thinking about it, right? Like, because it's something you work so hard for your entire life. I mean, for people that don't know, obviously we're more of a mixed martial arts site, but you know, for people that don't know, like you literally were born into wrestling. Your name is Gable Dan Stevenson, and obviously, of course, I actually had a chance a few months ago to interview Dan Gable, which was one of my favorite interviews of all time. That guy's an icon. But you were literally born for this, which is crazy to think about, to get that gold medal at 21. I mean, I can't even imagine the emotion.
Oh, there's so many crazy emotions. I mean, after I got that gold medal, I probably didn't take it off for like 3 days. I had it on me everywhere I went. Everywhere, like I was showing it to all the homies on the FaceTime and stuff. And I mean, to do it at such a young age, I mean, it's most definitely life changing. You know what I'm saying? A lot of kids that are 21 don't even get to go outside the country and see different places. And there's so many kids that don't go outside the country and wrestle at world championships, especially the Olympic Games, you know, because we only send 6 people if everyone qualifies. And so for me to go out there and influence the next generation of young kids that come up and want to do that same thing at such a young age is crazy. And hopefully kids look at that and be inspired to step on the wrestling mat and go out there and do the thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know you've heard this before, but I mean, you're the first guy at this weight class to do it, you know, in so many years for America. I mean, you know, Mark Baumgartner is the last guy to do it. And that's, you know, back in the 90s. And heavyweight has always been a really difficult class for the American wrestlers. And obviously there's no shame in that, but to go out and do that in that weight class is a big deal, because you are a different breed of heavyweight wrestler, which is, again, I know you've heard this a million times, your celebration with the black backflip and everything, but you are a different kind of heavyweight wrestler. You're not the guy who's just going to lean on people. You literally go out there and you know, outmove them, outfast them, all these kind of things. You are a different kind of heavyweight.
I mean, I just the athleticism there, the confidence is there, and I like being a showman. I like going out there and doing the backflips and making sure, you know, not a lot of people see what happens with wrestling, the results. And so for me to go out there and do backflips and put on a good show for people is bringing outside people to come watch wrestling. And that's what we always wanted. We wanted to grow the sport and grow it to a bigger thing. And I mean, 29 years later, after Bruce Baumgartner won his, I think his first or second one, not sure. There's a new heavyweight champ for USA. And for me to go out there and put on them red, white, and blue and bring a gold medal home and hear that national anthem when I'm on the gold medal stage is something special. And hopefully, like I said, just inspiration for others and just a motivation factor for the younger kids.
Absolutely. Yeah, I said Mark. I was thinking of Mark Coleman. It was a buddy of mine in wrestling. Seeing Mark Coleman heavyweight and then going to Bruce Bumgarner. But yeah, that's a tough weight class. So to go out and do what you did is a big deal. And I know there's no team medal, you know, in the Olympics like there is in college where you win a national championship like that. But you know, America won the most medals, you know, in wrestling between the men's and women's. Three gold medals in total, two on the men's freestyle. I mean, I know, again, it's not a team competition in the Olympics, but you got to be happy with how things played out for Team USA at this Olympics.
Oh, yeah. Everyone went out there and did their job. I mean, freestyle, men's freestyle came home with five medals, two gold medals. Me and David Taylor and I won the gold, Kyle Schneider second, and Kyle Dake and Thomas Gilman, both bronze. I mean, We went out there, put on a show, and all the women's wrestlers, Tamara, Adeline, Sarah Hildenbrandt, and I think Helen Marulis came back with medals. I mean, for them to go out there and put on a good name for themselves, and like I said, we're just trying to inspire the next group of kids that are going to come through, and when we're older, they're going to look at us and be like, wow, those two teams were legendary. They came home with 9 medals out of the 11 wrestlers that were sent or something. I mean, USA is most definitely growing in wrestling, and we are the powerhouse in the world.
Yeah. There was a time not that long ago, Gable, where wrestling, you know, just didn't get a lot of attention. And you know, you had the hardcore people who still watch it, myself and some other MMA people. But obviously, as MMA has grown, I think that has helped wrestling. We've seen, you know, obviously very accomplished wrestlers go on to become fighters. And we've seen the sport kind of grow. You know, obviously, I think Jordan Burroughs was a big influence on that. He kind of had that personality. People kind of followed him when he did his gold medal in 2012. And we see this now to where wrestling is a much bigger sport. Now, you're a guy, I mean, I've read stories about you from high school where you were, you know, when you went on this incredible run through the end of your high school career. And obviously you came into college with a lot of eyeballs on you when you went to the University of Minnesota. So you're kind of used to living under the spotlight, but to do what you're doing at 21 in the Olympics, like, can you wrap your head around it? Because you've helped and handled pressure like nobody's business. I mean, we got to be honest, like there's a lot of people who would crumble in these kind of situations, and you've kind of embraced it. You've invited it on you.
I love spotlight. I love going out. Like I said, I love going out there and putting on the best show possible for the people. You know, at the end of the day, people are going, waking up at 4 a.m. to watch me wrestle. You know what I'm saying? If I go out there and half do it, it's going to be a waste of time for them to wake up and watch me wrestle. So for me to go out there at 21, the pressure of the world is on me to satisfy the people at home is what I'm mostly worried about. To make USA proud is what I'm like worried about. Especially here at Minnesota, to make the university proud is the main goal for me. So I don't mind the pressure. I love the pressure. You know, pressure makes diamonds, and I like to go collect them diamonds and go do my thing on the outside. So for me to step up big, make USA proud, make my teammates proud, and make people at home proud is number one priority.
Absolutely. I love it. Now, part of this, you know, in years past when you were in wrestling, I mean, listen, we got to be honest, like it was not, you know, the reason why so many wrestlers end up graduating and going on to things like MMA is because wrestling didn't really have a way to provide you with a living, didn't really have a way to provide you with a financial stability. And I know the guy you're working with, Dave Martin, who's a very, very famous MMA manager, works with a lot of great fighters, Luke Rockhold, Robbie Lawler, Michael Chandler, and obviously you're working with Killcliff now as well. Having that support, how important is that for you in that? And also, you know, as a college student, I mean, listen, at the end of the day, you know, you're holding a gold medal, but we got to remember, like, you know, it's not like the Olympics, you know, it's not like the Olympic Committee is, you know, paying you $1 million for winning a gold, and that's fine. But obviously, you know, you got to live, you got to support yourself, you got to train, all these kind of things. Now you actually have that support system able to do that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, with my family at home and the support systems that came through with Dave and a lot of other, and Killcliff too, that started supporting me also. I mean, so many doors have opened when I won the national tournament. And my next step after the national tournament was to win the Olympic gold. And with this Olympic gold medal, it's opened the world for me to see it. I've came in contact with so many people and so many big names that want me to come and do shows and show up to events such as USC and WWE and anything else. I mean, I've seen tweets from the Vikings message me. This gold medal has most definitely opened up a lot of things with the support system with Dave Martin and a lot of other people. You know, we're gonna go grab this world and we're gonna take care of it and we're gonna own it too.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you're still in celebration mode, and rightfully so. You literally got home from Tokyo a couple nights ago, so you're still in celebration mode, as you should be. But of course, everyone's going to start asking about what comes next. I mean, of course, you know, you obviously win the gold medal. Now, I know the World Championships are coming up in Norway in October, so you got that. But, I mean, what is, like, obviously, okay, let me just pull the, you know, the big elephant out of the room. We saw your tweet to Dana White. Now, I'm an MMA guy. So tell me, Gable, what is in your head right now? What is next for Gable Steveson?
Man, what is next for Gable Steveson is really not sure. I'm open for all options. I'm going to go, like I said, I'm going to go explore every single option I can. I'm going to go put my name in on every single desk and go out there and make sure that the Gable Steveson name is well known and it's going to influence the next culture that comes up. And so, like I said, there's a lot of places to go. I don't know what's next for me, WWE, UFC, football, go back to school, who knows? But at the end of the day, the best decision will come to my family, and who knows when it may come.
Yeah, I mean, you got options. I mean, because I kept mentioning it when I was writing about you last week. Like, you still have eligibility. You can go back and wrestle at the University of Minnesota if you want to. And obviously, again, now you have the financial capabilities to do that without, you know, going back just as a college student. So you can go back to college if you want to. You have that eligibility there.
Yeah, I still got crazy thing. I still got 2 more years of eligibility. And, I mean, I could go back to Minnesota and do my thing again. Why wouldn't I? I mean, could be a cool thing, but why wouldn't I also look at the bigger options that may come about? So, like I said, I'm open to anything, and me and Dave and my family are going to go search for the right things, and we're going to make sure everything is taken care of.
Yeah. Now, are you, obviously everyone saw the tweet to Dana White, and of course everyone, you know, is buzzing about it, putting on Twitter, putting on Instagram. Are you a fight fan? Are you a fan of UFC? Are you a fan of mixed martial arts?
Oh, most definitely I'm a fight fan. I mean, Who wouldn't want to be the baddest man on the planet? You know what I'm saying? Who wouldn't want to hold that UFC championship belt? You know, I'm holding the gold medal and I'm the baddest wrestler on the planet. Why wouldn't I want to go out there and be the baddest UFC heavyweight champion? So I sent that tweet out to Dana, and I'm sure he saw it. Sure, someone from his desk got a hold of him. But like I said, all options will be open.
Yeah, and obviously, for people that don't know, it was what I was. I think 2 years ago or a year and a half ago, whatever it was, you worked with Brock Lesnar. He had come up to the University of Minnesota, and you got to get some work in with him. Of course, Brock is a legendary wrestler from Minnesota himself. I assume, you know, you probably had conversation with him, and that's a resource you could probably rely on for advice or if you just need help. I know Brock did that with Logan Storley as well, who's obviously fighting in Bellator. So you have that. I'm sure you have that influence there with a guy like Brock.
Almost definitely, Brock is a big influence. You know, He's had his input on things that I want to do. I mean, he's told me a while ago, what should I not do and what should I do? You know, Brock's been there for a long time, and he's pointing me in the right direction, and he'll make sure I always go the right way.
Yeah. And on the flip side of that, Brock, of course, also the other side is WWE. Now, we all know they have interest. I'm sure you've seen Triple H and everyone's talked about you coming over. They love the big guys. They love the guys who are athletic, and that's an option as well. Is that something you could potentially explore as well?
Most definitely, I'm going to explore the WWE. You know, Vince McMahon is a great dude. Triple H is a great person also. So for me to explore WWE, for me not to explore WWE would be fairly stupid on my part. But I'm going to go out there and me and Triple H are going to have face-to-face talks. Me and Vince will. Me and Dana will. Me and Joe Rogan will. And I'm going to go out there and, like I said, I'm going to explore.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. It's kind of funny. I'm sure maybe you saw it. Ben Askren, of course, very famous in the wrestling community in his own right. He put out a tweet after you. I can't remember if it was after the semifinals or the finals, but he put out a tweet and said, you know, give this guy 18 months of training and he's a, you know, UFC champion. That's how much faith you have from the MMA community already. And listen, I'm a believer in that as well, man. You are a different breed of heavyweight athlete. And obviously we've got great heavyweights. I'm in Ohio. I'm 15 minutes from Ohio State. So of course I'm very familiar with Stipe Miocic. Of course, Francis Ngannou, the current champ, obviously all the guys out there. But again, if you decide to do MMA, you already have the greatest base possible to make huge waves in this sport if you decide to fight.
Yeah, you know, I saw the tweet from Ben Askren, and I do believe that, too. You know, I do believe that with my wrestling skills and me putting on some striker skills that I could be the champ in less than 18 months. I can go out there and dominate my way through the heavyweight field. And, you know, there's good guys coming up. There's the French guy, I think his name's Gain. He just won his match against Derek Lewis, which we were watching over there in Tokyo. So congratulations to him. Stipe, you know, legend, Cormier, legend, Brock Lesnar, Couture's, and all those guys are great dudes, you know what I'm saying? And Francis is holding the belt right now, and I'm not sure anyone at this point may stop him. We're going to see with the guy Gain if he can. But, you know, the support from the MMA world is heavy. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people have faith in me. That's cool to see. So, I mean, like I said, we're going to explore. We're going to take our time, and we're going to pick the right option for me, whether it's MMA or anything else. But we'll always have a good support system from the fans. We're going to make sure I'm a people's person and go out there and put on a show for everybody.
Absolutely. And it's not, again, I say options. This is something, you know, 10, 12 years ago, wrestlers didn't have. If you were a wrestler, you know, 10, 15 years ago, you either became a wrestling coach or you might go into fighting. Like, you literally didn't have the other option. You actually have a lot of options right now. And like, we're sitting here talking about the Olympic gold medal. They didn't even talk about it. You could go back and win another gold. You're so young. You could easily go to the next games, you know, and when they restart again. So, I mean, 2024. So, I mean, again, there's a world of possibilities available to you.
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, 2024 don't sound bad to me. Either going to Paris and win another gold medal and solidify myself again, you know. Two gold medals don't sound bad. Anything doesn't, you know, I'm a competitor. I go out there and put my best foot forward, and win or lose, I'll always make sure that I put my heart out there in anything I do.
Yeah. Well, Gable, thank you so much for taking the time. I try to, you know, as a reporter, as a journalist, I'm supposed to be unbiased. I'm not unbiased right now because I was freaking out excited when you won. I loved watching, always rooting for Team USA, of course. And so seeing you win that gold medal was amazing, man. Congratulations. Enjoy it. I know you got to be enjoying it a little bit, but please enjoy it. Congratulations again. And I tell you what, I can't wait to see what's next. I know you said, you know, you're going to make the decision, but I'll tell you, man, I just can't wait to see what you do next, because whatever it is, I will be watching.
Well, I appreciate you for watching. Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely, Gabe. We'll talk to you soon, buddy.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.